What's up, YouTube? And Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that lot. Google Podcasts, does that still exist? I think it died recently. Hello, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to the Prestige Reef Talk Show. I'm Alex, I'm Reef Talk, and with me, as always, is Ryan from the UK's number one coral selling website. Hang on. PrestigeReef.co.uk. Ryan, how are you? I forgot how to, what I had to
not say. Good, not good. You're slacking, aren't you?
I'm good. Do I say his surname now, or do I say the website? What? You're good.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm coughing a lot, so I've got some sipping water.
I've got quite a lot of energy tonight, I've realised, for some reason. You know, sometimes you do these live streams and you have lower energy. I feel like I've got a lot of energy at the moment.
Okay, good stuff.
We'll see if it lasts.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Well. Yeah. What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Yeah. What in my week?
No, why are you so energetic?
I think I had a late coffee today, if I'm honest.
Right. Okay.
So it's not worn off yet. I think I had it at like 4:30.
I see. I don't drink coffee, so I don't understand.
I remember whenever Alex comes over to my house, I have to go out specifically just to go get milk for him because he has a tea, which he then drinks half of and then leaves half of it every single time. Oh, my phone just got off.
Someone's just sold a coral.
That is. I might leave that on because then people get instant gratification if they order it while on the live stream. So Alex makes me go get milk for him.
I've got one question, though.
Yeah.
What kind of an animal doesn't have milk in the house?
I don't drink tea. I only drink espressos like a real man.
Cereal? So, espressos like a real man.
I don't eat cereal either. So, yeah. Real men drink espressos and whiskey. So, do you like whiskey?
No.
My point proven.
I'd like to like whiskey. But someone bought me a bottle of Oban. Do you know what Oban is? It's scotch.
No.
And but it's like really oaky. And it's like when you open it, you can smell the wood. And it was disgusting. It was wasted on me, completely wasted on me.
Where's it gone now?
Oh, I can't. I think I gave it away. I like had one sip of it. I was like, don't want it. I think Oban's quite a nice scotch. Like proper whiskey drinkers would like it. But
yeah,
it was horrible, disgusting stuff. But I'd like, it's cool. It's a cool drink to drink.
Yeah.
But I just drink beer in a whiskey glass. And then people think I'm drinking, oh, that's a full glass of whiskey. God, he can hold his beers, can't he? He has drinks.
That's true. So
anyway, whiskey chat over. How's your weekend reefing been?
Not bad. Actually, there was like an outpouring of people from last week, wasn't there? I don't know if you, so I will sometimes go back occasionally and look at the comments upon the video. And everyone was like commenting. Yeah, there was so many comments, so much support from people, which was nice. I didn't tell people because I wanted support. I told people because I think it's important that people go, look, this person who's been doing it for a long time suffers sometimes too. Yeah. So when I'm going through something, it's just normal. It's just normal in this hobby. Mm-hmm. So obviously, for people who weren't here last week, the water box got white spot. The fish were all fine. They had white spot, but nothing died. So I had a choice. I either took all the fish out and quarantined them again, or I leave them to it. Because of the cost of the angelfish, I decided to take them all out, which has been an absolute nightmare. Like a nightmare. So every single day, so I started on Monday, I've been able to catch fish gradually over a period of time. And now I'm down to the last one, which is a yellow assessor. And yellow assessors, if you're going to put one in your tank, you make sure you bloody want it. Because that thing is never coming out.
Yeah.
It's so they it will catch copepods in the tank, which means even though I've starved it by not feeding it for 3 days, it just has no interest in the food in the trap. It just does not care. So, I can't start the fallow period, which is going to be 7 weeks, I believe. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure it's 7 weeks until. And until I've caught that last fish.
Right.
So, yeah.
You need a plan.
What are you using? I need a bloody harpoon. I need like a little miniature harpoon.
Are you using like an aquamedic fish trap?
Yes. Yeah. And at first it was going so smoothly because I was catching like 4 fish at a time. They're used to the trap being in there because sometimes they use it for acclimation. Hmm. And I will put the trap in, but I don't try and catch the fish. There's literally no point on the first day You might as well put it in there and then leave it for a day and then try the next day when they're used to it. Otherwise, it just frustrates you. So I did that. The King Eye went in straight away, which was great, along with both the Tangs went in as well. And those were the ones that needed the treatment the most. So I was happy that I got those out. And copper works surprisingly quickly. It works really, really quickly with white spot. And also, obviously, they're going into a tank that don't have it.
When you're treating copper, do you have to wait for... Because obviously, white spot has certain stages when it's in the fish and then when it's out of the fish and it cysts and all this sort of stuff. Do you have to... Can you only kill the disease when it's not in the fish, when it's in its free-floating stage?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Right, okay.
So I don't... I'm not sure how long it remains on the fish for. I think it's only like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But what I noticed is there were white spots on the fish. 3 days later, there's nothing on them. So obviously it's the copper that's preventing it getting back onto the fish. Or it also might be because obviously the quarantine tank is brand new, so there was no parasites swimming around in the water either. So
I've just Googled. I Googled white spot. It came up with freshwater, so I had to Google cryptocarian irritans. I couldn't spell it. That's why it took me time. But life cycle is... Oh, it doesn't tell the days. That's no good. Oh, no, it does. Here we go. Right. So Trophont, 3 to 4 days, and it looks like that's in the fish, in the gills.
I thought it was 2 or 3 days.
Then it goes on to Tomont for 3 to 4 days, and it looks like that's outside of the fish. Then it goes on to Theront for 36 hours from the looks of it. I'm just sort of like quickly glancing at something, so you know, I might be getting this wrong, but basically
don't tell people that the ones on the podcast can't see you, which means they're going to think you're well smart.
I know, yeah. So it's in the fish for 3 or 4 days, and then four to six days from the looks of it, it's when you can kill it. That's you know, so that's quite a short life cycle, isn't it?
I mean, if you could,
well, I guess, yeah. That's why it blows up at the population goes crazy. So,
yeah, but it also means that if you actually get the fish out, it's pretty easy to treat as long as it's in,
yeah, okay,
it's in copper. Mm-hmm. So it does make me nervous. Obviously, there's like 12 fish, some of them are quite big in a 150 liter quarantine tank.
Yeah.
So, but it does have an ammonia checker on it, and so far it's still yellow. And I took filter media out of the water box, and I took filter media out of the other quarantine tank, which was already cycled, and put both of them. I have two filters in the new quarantine tank.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what I'm going to do, once I've caught, I can't add any more fish to that quarantine tank because the copper level's high now. So if I just add a fish to it, the chances are the fish won't like the elevated levels of copper.
You've got to acclimate it to it generally. So if you catch the assessor, will you put it in your other quarantine?
The assessor is going to go into the other tank,
right,
by itself, and then I'm going to move some of the fish from the 150 liter quarantine into the new tank with no copper in it. The old copper, the old quarantine tank. So I have a 150 liter. No, I have 150 liter quarantine, which is right, the new one.
Yeah.
And the old one is 70 litres.
Yeah.
So the 70 litres.
So if you put them back in the tank with the assessor in it,
yes,
you've got to start again, haven't you?
But it doesn't. I'm going to have to start again anyway because the fallow period is 7 weeks. So it doesn't really make any difference.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
But I want to lower the fish load on the 150 litre. So if I take out a couple of big fish, it makes it far less risky.
Yeah.
So, and again, it doesn't particularly make any difference because once the fish are in copper, it's not like the assessor can then give the fish the fish that have already been treated ick again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm probably going to leave the fish in the copper for longer because I think it's normally like 30 days. It will probably be longer than 30 days because I'm going to have to wait 7 weeks anyway. But yeah. I won't do the whole 7 weeks. That's too long.
No. But and so how long will you leave it fallow? So 7 weeks, you say?
I will Google what Humble Fish recommends because Humble Fish is the god of fish disease.
I have a feeling it's 3 months, isn't it?
Maybe. You might be right. It's either 7, 9, or 11. I'm not sure which one it is. It varies depending on what disease you're dealing with, I think.
Yeah. This is back from, and this is, it's been a long time since I researched quarantine. We're talking... Yeah. almost 10 years. but on Ultimate Reef, to be completely safe, people used to recommend 3 months. I think at certain stages, it's like you're 90% done, but you might as well just wait a bit longer. He's got loads of different... it depends on what the disease is from the looks of it, but yeah, okay. But so you're facing, and actually, so you're facing potentially 3 months of fallow period in your tank. What's your plan during that period?
Oh god, just so having taken the tangs out immediately, algae has started to grow because obviously the tangs were eating the algae. The phosphate levels is only like 0.04. Okay. But immediately the algae started to grow. So what I have done, I turned off one of the lights. Mm-hmm. So there's a two of the GHL lights on at the moment, just to lower the amount, the intensity. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep on top of the algae, hopefully using inverts, because I'm not going to turn the lights off completely because I don't want it to go back to a bare tank again.
What inverts?
Probably snails. I've got hundreds of them in the farm. So. Okay.
Mostly.
I might put an urchin in there if I need to, but they're sort of just, you like urchins, don't you?
Love urchins. But I noticed as soon as you said, oh, I'll deal with the algae with inverts, I bet there would be people watching and listening who are like, ooh, hang on, what are you going to use?
Yeah. So I have one hermit crab in there. I'm not even sure why. I'm not even sure how it got in there. I can't remember putting it in there. It's probably in one of my videos.
Yeah.
It was probably a tester to see if a living creature can survive. So I put the hermit crab in there. And I've got a load of snails, and they breed as well.
What snails?
I think they're just Mexican turbo. There's two different types. One of them is a Mexican turbo. I've got two conchs or conches. Yeah, conchs.
I say conch, but it's conch, yeah. Is a correct pronunciation.
Yeah. And I've also got some Nassaria snails, but they're they're not algae eaters, are they?
Do you not have the trochus snails, blackfoot trochus?
Possibly. No, I don't think so, actually.
Okay.
I don't think so. But what I will keep doing, I want to keep the tank stable. So I will still put in one cube of mysis every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe every 2 days, just to keep the food level.
Yeah.
So there's something going into the tank. And there's still shrimp in there. There's four cleaner shrimp in there and some other things, so it's not like it will get eaten anyway, and there's loads of copepods, so they'll break it down as well. So I don't want the tank to go back to being sterile or nothing, because then it just keeps everything I do just keeps upsetting the balance of the tank. So I will get there one day. This tank will be absolutely beautiful, and then everyone will remember all the pain I went through to get to that. But we shall see. We shall see.
That's because I've got my pet rock that's in a tub by my side, and I've not been feeding it. But I feel like I probably should, because the thing, I don't want it to end up just a load of phosphate water in there. But I probably should put some food in there, even if it's once a week or something, to feed the bacteria.
Yeah, true. Charles has asked if I do water changes in quarantine. I don't do water changes in quarantine usually, which is the quarantine I've been doing is 30 days. And I worked out basically if I put one cube of mysis, half a cube of mysis in there, it doesn't, like, I've quarantined everything without the need for any issues, without the need for the nitrate and phosphate doesn't get too high. So I don't need to. I keep, when I'm quarantining fish, I feed minimally. Mm-hmm. Just because the biggest issue in quarantine is ammonia, as far as I'm concerned. So, and the fish can survive a long time being slightly underfed. Whereas if you overfeed them, you can kill them like very quickly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's I think. Nothing particularly exciting has gone on with the farm. It's a bit quiet. It's weirdly quiet at the moment. Like, it's very rare for me to be quiet with regards to corals. Usually all year it's pretty consistent. There are busier times, but it's pretty consistent. Whereas for some reason it's been quieter the last couple of weeks.
March? So, is that, I don't know.
As soon as the weather changes and it gets a bit warmer, people are less interesting. Yeah. That's that. You can tell when I'm quiet.
Those people, weird people.
Yes.
I'd rather stay inside with my fish tank than go outside in the sun, you know, so.
Yeah, true. True. You can tell by how white you are. Then again, I can hardly comment, can I?
Okay. So quiet. You haven't got any exciting corals in recently?
No, I haven't had any new corals in recently, but like I don't get new stuff in unless if it's quiet. Because the reason, there's no point, if people aren't buying, there's no point in getting more because it just increases my risk.
Yeah.
That sometimes, look, I know of a couple of shops that have done this that have got themselves in trouble where they keep buying new stuff with the idea of getting new people in all the time. But there is a death tax in this hobby if you're a shop. And if you, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you can kill.
Yeah.
And the more stuff you kill, it eats into your profit, and then those shops are no longer around anymore. So they appeared to be the best shops because they had all they had all these expensive fish and loads of coral all the time, and those shops are no longer here.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, but no, I've just been tinkering away, if I'm honest. So there's been a few things I've been putting off that I need to do, which I've now done. So,
okay, that's good.
Yeah. What about you?
17 minutes and we're done with Ryan. That's very unusual.
Well, what else can I tell you about?
I was expecting half an hour of nonsense.
Whoa, is that what you're used to?
Yeah. Every week. Do the mug joke.
No. No, because it wasn't funny. Well, I can say, actually, well, this is not particularly related to this, but I said this to you earlier, Alex. I said to Alex earlier. So every so often, I realize just how weird it is what I do, basically. So it's normal to me. I don't think anything of it that I wake up in the morning, I grow coral for a living. Now, last week, I went speed dating. And when you go speed dating, you tell people what you do for a job. And those people think you're a weirdo. So that was definitely an experience. And actually, to be fair, like, firstly, I tell a little bit of a false truth. I tell them I work in coral biology. So that gets me through.
There's some truth in that.
there is some. Well, not technically. No, there is coral biology. Biology is the study and growing of like creatures, and that's what I do.
Study them.
I do study them. I'm like, are you alive today? Yes, you are.
Okay.
So, that may
start a relationship with a bit of dishonesty. Yep. Okay.
That brings me.
Really selling yourself here.
No, that's true. That sometimes that brings me. It makes me realize just how lucky I am with what I do, because when you talk to these people, most of them have boring jobs.
Yeah, what you do? I work in an office.
Yes, and people are usually like they're very, very interested. But yeah, and the other thing is, I'm thinking about it, which I said to Alex earlier. Very, very small thinking about it. I'm thinking about going to Reefapalooza. Very small. It's like 5% chance, which is a 1 in 20, because Reefapalooza is in April in Florida, and I thought it'll be a laugh. And I've not been away for a while, so why not?
So we were having this conversation before the stream started.
Yeah.
And there is literally no reason not to do it.
True. There is no reason not to do it. But there is, because I have to leave the coral farm.
Yeah, but for a week.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. You do that. Happy Christmas. You go for like 2 months.
Yeah, no, I know, but I normally am well prepared long, like months in advance when I go away at Christmas. Whereas,
what day would you go away and what day would you get back? Day of the week.
It's 3 weeks away, I think.
Three weeks?
I think it's Florida. No, I wouldn't go to Florida for 3 weeks.
No. So when you go to Florida, what day would you go away and what day would you get back?
I'd probably arrive on Monday and fly back on Sunday. That's a week. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So. I was going to say, because if it was Wednesday to Wednesday, I'd go down on the weekend and check in. But
oh, you're going to come look after him for you? Come see your fish?
Yeah, I'll start Calquasser. So.
All of your fish.
Be twice the size.
All of your fish now eat pellets, just so you know. Because when I first put pellets in them, they all ignored them. Whereas now they all eat them. And actually, the only other thing is I was working on a video today for the channel. I was actually doing the ReefBot video.
Which is what Dan the Man is asking.
I'm interested.
So you're making the video interesting.
I'm interested. Dan the Man, are you the person that messaged me asking me about, and let me just check, asking about the ReefBot? Because, no, that guy was someone called Dave. So sometimes people on, like, on a weekend, you know, at like 9 o'clock at night, will send you a message wanting to have a chat. And someone did, yeah, someone did that. Now is the time to have a chat with me. How is the ReefBot going? It's good. I actually do like it. It's quite large, which I've said in the video. It's noisy, but similar level of noise to a 3D printer.
Oh, bloody hell.
But that doesn't...
I bet it's not as noisy as a 3D printer.
maybe not then, I don't know. But it doesn't... Have you not seen it when you were here?
I've not seen it in action.
It doesn't bother me because it's exactly the same as my Roomba. Like, I don't put my Roomba on when I'm in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Or when I'm awake, if you see what I mean. I do these things when I'm out, so it doesn't really matter. But other than that, I've checked it against test kits and the Hanna checker. Fine. But I also... the video isn't specifically going to be just about the ReefBot. I think I'm going to do it like a different slant on it with regards to... Because so many people, when they book consultations, I ask them like whether they test. And so many people don't test. So it's going to be like the value of testing as well as here is a ReefBot, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I'm working on a bit. The two videos I'm excited about making at the moment, one of them is talking about testing. Not in the same manner as you're talking about it.
When can you put out next week so I can copy it?
No, I can't. I'll do. I might do. No, I don't think I'll do it next. Anyway, whatever. But yeah. But it's actually the one thing. Someone asked me. I posted a load of photos on Instagram this week, a couple of days ago. All these ones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Of growth photos. So this was November 2023. 4 months later. That's a bad example, to be fair. Let me move on. So there was a gonny that looked really good. This one. So this was 4 months ago, and then 4 months later, the gonny's double the size.
Yeah.
And there's lots like that where they're all the same kind of, it's all the same kind of level of growth. And all those corals, so this is my water box LPS tank. And this is what my new tank is going to look like, only three times the size. And I just can't wait.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, no, it is.
Your tank's going to look like mine in a year's time.
No dinos, no cyanobacteria, none of this stuff. But yeah, but some people, a few people were like, well, what are your secrets? What are your parameters? What are you doing? All this sort of stuff. And actually, this tank has looked best. You never quite know why your tank looks good, because you could have done five things at once. And what, like, I started dosing Reef's Elements pH Plus. For all I know, it could be that. But what the thing I think is the most likely explanation, because I noticed corals improving after I do it, is I've tested a lot more regularly. So salinity, magnesium in particular, nitrate and phosphate, not so much there, but salinity and magnesium, when they've been spot on, everything looks better. So it's just simple.
For me, salinity, I noticed, makes a massive difference, like an absolutely massive difference. I didn't realize how much of a difference until you came with your salinity checker and I lowered it down. All of a sudden, I look at the corals, I'm like, damn, you're looking good today.
It's funny because, so you told me about salinity. You told me to check my salinity, I don't know, 6 months ago. I was like, no, it's fine. I checked. I was like, oh my God, no, it's not. And then, but you don't think about it. It's really obvious, but you don't think yourself.
Yeah,
but that's so the salinity is one thing that's made a big difference, checking it regularly. Because I always used to think, and I did a video on Friday that was, which no doubt you've watched, that was the seven things I've learned from this reef tank. And people might have clicked on that video expecting like an in-depth explanation of bacteria or trace elements, all this sort of stuff. It was much more simple stuff. But one of the things was salinity. I used to think, with salinity, it takes care of itself, because if you do water changes and if you've got an auto top off, it'll be fine, because it always was. I used to test every few months and it was always fine.
Yeah.
But what I found now is that the more I test it and the more I stop it from spiking, which it does quite often, especially on my main tank when I was dosing a lot of 2-part, because that increases salinity, of course. Does, yeah. gently over time. But I was chucking in a lot of that stuff, full tank of Aquaporin. And so just testing salinity regularly and adjusting and knocking it down basically most of the time, that's made a big difference. It's a stupid thing to be discovering 10 years into your...
Yeah, week. Yeah, true. You wonder how we got this far.
I know. But the honest answer, testing is the thing that's got me most success recently. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And as I said, to this day, it still surprises me how many people don't test, because they will book a consultation, and what that consultation is me telling them that you need to test because I can't help you unless I know what your parameters are. So that's why I might put that as like a condition when people, I always, whenever some people have a consultation, I send them an email first saying like, what, tell me a bit about you. Tell me a bit about your tank. What is it you want to talk about? What there's a reason you want to talk to me. What is that? What do you want me to help you with? Whereas I should also add, make sure you test your parameters. Otherwise I'm not going to talk to you because there's no point in talking.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think people want you to, they go, oh, my coral died. And I go, well, what's your parameters? They go, I don't know. I go, well, that's it. That's the reason your coral died, because you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. But so, even I went for months thinking, oh, everything's fine. And then you test it and you're like, oh God, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And the thing is, because if everything looks fine, and then one coral, what I'm good at now is when one coral starts to look funny, I test everything. Yeah. I used to think everything's fine. It's just this one coral. It's probably just a fussy coral.
Yeah.
Which is not the case.
Yeah.
And it's normally that one packs in and before all the others do, you know. It might be 6 months before the rest do, or it might be 6 days, you know.
Well, that's actually what I'm going to say in the video for the reef bot, is that like, if you've got a coral for a period of time that you've had in your tank for a while, and you haven't changed your lights and you haven't changed your flow, and it's not like other corals have grown around it, if you see like where they're blocking the flow, the chances are it is your parameters.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
because well, I mean, it could be a pest or it could be a contaminant, but what else could it be? So yeah, people are saying there's loads of ads apparently tonight.
I know. I'm just trying to update that. Let me just put this on full screen. Save that. Because I saw someone, there we go. I think I've changed it. I saw someone ask, if I click away, it's saved. I should have saved it, right? I saw someone ask, do you do adverts? Do you guys do adverts? And I was like, what do you mean adverts? And then a couple of other people started saying, grr, annoying adverts. First time I've seen adverts on the live stream. Now I actually changed, when you set these live streams up,
yeah,
or you press, you turn monetization on, you click and say, do you want monetization? Yes or no.
Yeah.
And all that means is if you click no, they still run adverts. You just don't get paid. So yeah, I click down and click yes, and that's it. And that's the end of it. This time round, I can't remember why, but I found another subsetting. I went digging and found a submenu, and it said, do you want lots of adverts, medium level of adverts, or very low adverts.
Yeah.
And I just thought, put medium on, you know, and it'll be, yeah, that sounds probably a good thing, because you don't want lots of adverts are really annoying. But I wonder if doing that meant that normally they have it low. Anyway, yeah. So that's possibly why. So sorry about that. But I've changed it and I've put it on the lower setting now, so it should be better.
I wonder if they only show adverts after it's been uploaded.
Yeah,
so when it's live, there's no adverts, whereas they're currently showing people adverts. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's weird. I have YouTube Premium, so you don't get adverts at all.
Oh, yeah. Look at you, you fancy man.
Well, I need it for YouTube, basically. But when you've got YouTube Premium, it's 13 quid a month.
Yeah.
It's so good. And there's normally a free trial knocking around for a couple of months. The trouble is, though, I signed up. I resisted it for ages.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was like, I'm not spending 13 quid a month on YouTube. And then there was a 3 month trial. I was like, okay, I'll try it. And then you have it for 3 months, and it's so good, because for a start, there's no adverts ever, so I don't ever think about that. But also things like, you can lock your screen, your phone screen, and it'll still play. You can do a little, it'll do picture in picture, it'll pop up, and so you can go and surf the internet or do other stuff. It's just so good, YouTube Premium. But then it's worth it for me because YouTube pays me, so I just use part of that money to pay for it. So
I suppose I can do that too, actually. Because I was like you, where I'm going, I'm not paying that. I'm not paying that. I'll watch the adverts.
The thing is, because everything is on a subscription these days, isn't it? Absolutely everything. So you can have millions of subscriptions. But I was thinking, and I thought, 13 quid, that's a lot for YouTube. It's not like Netflix when it's like million-dollar budget show, multi-million-dollar budget TV shows. It's just some two dickheads on, you know, talking about fish and corals, for example, and loads of amateurs like us. But actually, I watch more YouTube than any other media, than TV.
Me too.
Anything. So I figured, do you know what, it's worth it, because it's just, I watch it all the time, and YouTube Premium is brilliant. I hate that it's 13 quid a month, but it really is good. But then because of that, I never see I've just seen what you're laughing at.
I think I'm laughing at the 13 a month is that one. No, I'm actually laughing at the one above that where it says now Alex is giving us an ad about YouTube Premium.
I know.
They're basically saying we tried to get away from the ads and now you're giving us an ad live.
Yeah. I'm just talking about it. Yeah. But no, it's so I've turned that off. So with it, down anyway. So I think that should have fixed it, but I never play with the settings, so maybe that setting changed. Whatever. Anyway.
We are definitely not worth a 30-second ad.
Oh, I don't know.
30 seconds. I'll be skipping that.
Yeah. Anyway, what else? There was someone posted a comment earlier that I was going to pull back up. I can't remember what it was now. It's disappeared. I know what it was. Sky Crusader, super chat. Thanks very much. Reef Dork, industry standard for phosphate levels. Just give me a super chat just so he can rinse me, because he knows I'll have to read it out.
someone messaged me today about their phosphate, and it was like, I can't remember how high it was. He said, is this of concern? I said, don't worry, Reef Dorks are higher than that. That was literally my response.
Yeah. But that's the thing. With parameters, I actually don't really care about nitrate and phosphate anymore.
Yeah.
I care, but we'll move on to the stuff I've been doing actually. So I set up because I closed down my main tank, of course, I had the smart test, the refactory smart tester spare. And I was like, all right, well, I'll test phosphate on my water box then.
Yeah.
And when I did so, first time I tested it was, so this was my old tank. The main tank was 0.12, 0.11, 0.1. That was my phosphate. And then when I set up on my water box, 0.4, 0.45. And this is when I started dosing lanthanum, this phosphate RX, blue vet RX, whatever it is anyway. Yeah. And that's slowly gone down from 0.4 to 0.3. And now it's down to, what was it today, 0.23. So I do care in that I'm trying to get it down a little bit. But when it was at 0.4, corals looked fantastic. And my nitrates went to zero. So I started dosing and they're back up to 5 or 6 now. But I don't really massively care about, of all the water parameters, nitrate and phosphate are the ones that I care about least, especially on this tank. On SPS corals, maybe it's different. But on this tank, I'm not noticing. What I'm going to hope is that I will start to see a difference when my phosphate comes down to a normal level, because 0.23 is still pretty high. But those the parameters that change things mostly for this tank are salinity and magnesium.
Magnesium changes.
No. As in, so if my magnesium or salinity are off, when I fix them, that has the most significant improvement.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's because they're so far off.
Yeah. But so what was I going to say? So phosphate is actually coming down. So from 0.4. to 0.23, which is good, and that's just because an automatic tester, so they are good, and you've got the ReefBot, which is going well, so
yeah, I'm happy with it. Don't you worry, you've got another 26 minutes to fill, considering you made me fill half an hour.
I know, so, yeah. I feel good about that.
I'm just gonna sit here silently.
Someone made a good point that said 13 quid for an ad blocker, which is effectively what YouTube Premium is. It does do more things, to be fair.
People have to remember YouTube also pays content creators to be on there, so it's providing a service similar to what Disney or anyone else does. So it's not like not like YouTube's taking all that money for themselves. They have to pay people to be on the platform.
Adverts never used to bother me. Before I had YouTube Premium, it never used to bother me. No one likes adverts, but I was never fussed about it. But now I don't have them at all. It's bliss.
My attention span is so short that if an advert comes up, the problem is they play the same adverts over and over again. But if an advert comes up, I then go back and click back onto the video until I find an advert I'm willing to watch. That's actually true, rather than sit there for 30 seconds.
That's very weird. Why don't you just mute it or something?
No, I don't have the mental capacity to even watch it.
Okay. Jay Ellis. Oh, no, hang on. Where was it? Any suggestions for a magnesium test kit, says Gary McConnell. Salifert. Where's my salifert? Oh, in fact, I've tested so much, I've run out of reagent so that there are no bottles there. But salifert for magnesium. It's cheap and it's easy to read. It's consistent.
That's a fancy test kit holder you've got there.
Well, it is, Ryan, actually. And it's you might notice that it's in the same colour, salifert, as the salifert magnesium.
Oh.
You can buy one from reefdork.etsy.com. So, you know.
There you go.
But
there you salifert, go, one more ad.
I use salifert for magnesium and calcium. And I would prefer salifert than Hanna, even though the Hanna is thick end of 100 quid. You might think it's much better. I think salifert for calcium and magnesium is the best option. I wouldn't want anything else.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm the same with you.
Even if the salifert one was 100 quid and the Hanna one was 10 quid, I'd buy the salifert.
Yeah.
Highest praise I can give it.
Oh yeah, me too.
But what was I going to say? So Jay Ellis says, how much did you pay Kalamazoo Reefer for the praises he gave you? He was so over the top. That was, I was embarrassed by how nice he was, but I really appreciated it as well.
I'm used to it, so.
Anyway, so moving on. So I've got a, where is it? Over my shoulder there. That's a KH keeper that I've set up on my Cade because I've got a spare auto testers all over the place now. So suddenly I've got a KH keeper on a 100 litre tank, which is overkill, but it's really useful to have. But that's a brand new KH keeper because my last one broke. And that's now the third KH. This is the KH keeper plus. That's the third one I've had. So the first one I had broke for coming up with these error codes and they couldn't fix it. So they replaced it. The second one lasted, I don't know, 6 months, a year, maybe. You can go back and, oh, I know you won't be able to tell. Anyway, probably 6 months to a year. And then it stopped drawing water in from the tank. And when I sent off the photos to support, they said that the dosing pump wasn't seated correctly, which meant it had twisted the tubes or cracked the tubes or something like that. So this is now the third one. But it's working well now. And with a bit like this won't go wrong. But I was slightly surprised to go through three.
Have you Googled any reviews on them to see if other people are having the same problem?
I did when I made my own reviews, but not since then. I've not really.
I'm interested to see if it's like, what, statistically speaking, what are the chances for you to have two go wrong, if you see what I mean? You can't be the only one.
I've got the KH keeper, the standard one, the first one they ever brought out that was too small that they decided to upgrade.
Yeah.
That has been running sweet as a nut for 2 years, probably 3 years now, maybe. No problems whatsoever. But this one, a couple of issues, a bit unusual to get a couple go wrong.
Yeah, but it's a relatively new product, isn't it?
Yeah, this is very true.
But there are teething issues whenever a new product comes out. So.
Very true. But what was I going to say? So other stuff. So I am absolutely, at the moment, I'm loving making videos. So I don't know if it's because it was like in January and February, January in particular, depressing, isn't it? So when you get into closer to spring and the evenings are longer, there's a few videos I'm really excited about making. And actually, I made a video on my motorbike channel today as well. And I did one on my Reef Talk Extra channel. I've got kind of half a dozen videos that I really want to make. And this has coincided. About a month ago, I had an email from a manufacturer about a month or so ago, saying, now your channel's plateaued, what's your plan to fix it? And I was like, it's plateaued, does it? But I think I've probably said that at some point. But I wanted to clarify what that means, because actually this week I overtook Mr. Saltwater Tank. And by the end of today, I'll have overtaken Mad Hatter's Reef. And within 6 months, I'll have overtaken Inappropriate Reefer, Maylev's Reef, Sea Friendly Reef, and Aaron's Aquarium. In terms of subscribers,
is this turned into like a brag fest? Because that's basically normally me doing that.
I know, yeah. So, sorry for the humble brag, but and those were all channels that when I had a very small channel, I was like, wow, they're brilliant. They're really big channels.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually, and what I've said before, that like if I've said, oh, you know, it doesn't grow like it did before. When I had like 5 or 10,000 subscribers, every year it would double in size.
Yeah.
So I'd go from 5 to 10, from 10 to 20. Yeah. And it was just like that's never going to continue. Now when you get to sort of 40,000, 50,000 subscribers, yeah, I currently have just under 70. There's no way I'm going to double 70. But actually, if you look at, there's a website called Social Blade that you've used before, yeah, and you can, it's not 100% reliable, but you can map where everybody is. And there's only one channel that consistently outperforms mine in terms of subscribers and views, and that's the main BRS channel. And on both of those metrics, at any one time, I will be top 5, usually top 3. So whilst I've said in the past, you know, oh, you know, it's not going as well as it has in the past, that's all relative. And actually, yeah, it's flying, and I've had I've overtaken a big channel this week, and got more to come in the next few months. So, sorry about the bragging.
It's not really so. It has not plateaued, is what you're saying.
Well, in a way, it kind of has, but in another way, it's never been bigger. And I've got 2 channels. I've got a podcast. I've got the live stream.
I love that someone sent you an email. How offensive is that? I love that someone sent you an email saying, now that your channel has plateaued.
It did make me laugh. I was like, oh, okay. Buttoning up. But no, I think it's fair enough, because I think I probably have said something along those lines,
yeah,
on one of the live streams before. But I just wanted to give context, because
maybe they were trying to knock your confidence before they wanted something from you.
Yeah, give them a kick, and so I think I'm worthless.
True.
But just, yeah, so, you know, not very British to do that sort of, to brag, you know, but I just want to give context, because actually the channel's going really well, and I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
I actually have also, there must be something to do with weather or something, because I've, the last 2 weeks, obviously I made videos. I was working on another one today, and I actually wish that I had done a third consecutive week, if you see what I mean, of, yeah, not the reef ball. Reef ball, I have to do like a specific, like you have to get a certain amount of information in it. It's not like a one you can, there's a lot more effort involved with those videos. Mm-hmm. Whereas I actually wanted, I think on Wednesday this week, I wanted to make my own video just of like catching the fish and stuff like that. But so there's something, there is definitely something where you want to start doing it again.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the time of year, because when the evenings get longer, all right, it's dark now, but when the evenings get longer, it feels better. You feel a bit more energetic. And so I don't know, maybe, yeah, that's it.
I usually make mine in the middle of the day though, on a Sunday. Every Sunday is usually when I make one, and I've done that consistently for like when I actually do make the video. If I try and make it on a Friday, I cannot do it. It's only because I literally make it on a Sunday and post it on a Sunday. Usually it's like that, yeah, deadline, that feeling of like urgency, which is what gets me motivated.
I always schedule stuff for the same time, so everybody knows what to expect.
No, it's not like that for me. I like to wait till last minute and then do it.
Is that what, so conscientious reefer says, any tips for a new reefing YouTuber? Is that what you tell him? Just wing,
yeah,
it.
Do everything last minute. Any tips? You don't need anything fancy, and just make videos consistently. Even if you don't think they're very good, post them anyway, and just keep posting every week until eventually you'll get good. Because my first videos were rubbish. Alex's videos are still rubbish. So no, it's true.
Well, that's not true.
No, not that bit. No. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, you will not be very good at the beginning. It's as simple as that. Probably. And don't go and buy loads of fancy equipment until you actually.
So the funny thing on equipment, and you know, I'm not going to try to sell everybody cameras and that sort of stuff. But I watched there's a motorbike YouTuber who's, I don't know, 250,000 subscribers, which is quite big in the UK, and he made a video recently with his top tips on how to set up a motorbike YouTube channel. And the first thing, and he's sponsored by Insta360. And it was basically, that video was an advert. And he was like, yeah, you want to buy it? And it's a 500 quid camera. He's like, yeah, you want to get this 500 quid camera. And then you want to get all this other. It's like, you don't need all that. You just, and with reef keeping, yeah, you need your mobile phone and a lav mic, is a 10 quid lav mic that you can plug into your mobile phone. That makes the world of difference, because tinny audio puts people off. But a proper lav mic that for 10 quid that you plug into your phone, that's all you need.
That is so true. That is so, so audio is far more important for capturing people's attention than video. People will watch a grainy video or a video that's not particularly high definition. Whereas if the audio is rubbish, they will turn it off immediately. So that is the most important thing, I'd say, actually.
But yeah, so but yeah, just you're right. Make load of video. Keep going. Power through when they're a bit crap. Well, the one thing I did, when I started out, I watched. There were. It's probably a little bit different now because there's more more variety and that sort of stuff. But I looked at a few of the channels that I watch regularly, and there were some things that they did that I didn't like. There was one channel that doesn't exist anymore that used to make product reviews, and it would be like you're trying to work out.
It's Aaron's Aquarium, I'm assuming.
Dan's Reef.
Oh, okay.
I don't really mean, but it was he'd make 20-minute product reviews, and I came away thinking I didn't learn anything about that. There's 10 things I wanted to know. Yeah. So what I did was when I made product reviews, like I sat down before and thought, what do people want to know? And so I tried to do things that that other people didn't do that I wanted to do. And there were things that Aaron's Aquarium did as well that I was like, I don't like that. I'm going to change it and do this. So try to watch videos. And ultimately, what I tried to do was make the videos I wanted to see. So I was like, this is the kind of video I like. It doesn't really exist. So I'm going to make that.
Yeah.
And that's, upload as often as you can. Don't worry too much about, like, one thing I got into when I started, I was trying to upload regularly. And I found, like, I could upload once a fortnight, once a month easily, but I wanted to upload every week. And I did this little series called Tweak of the Week. It was rubbish. And it was something like, it was just novelty gimmick. You don't need to try to be a presenter or have a novelty or a gimmick. And it was just something I'd done to my tank every week, and it was just boring. And I was uploading for the sake of uploading. So don't do that. Far better to upload quality, and then the quantity will come anyway because you get more ideas and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, try to upload as often as you can. 10 quid lav mic is all you need, and try to make the videos that you would like to see.
The most important thing as well is enjoy doing it. Don't do it because you think you're going to be a big YouTuber, because statistically speaking, it's very unlikely you will get to that stage unless you enjoy doing it, because you have to go through months and months of like 10 views on a video, or it will take a long time before you actually build up a regular following. So you have to actually enjoy doing what you do. And it's like a hobby. Don't do it because you think you're going to be famous, or, well, not famous is a stupid way of putting it because we're not famous, but don't do it because you think you're going to get free products. Don't do it for any reason other than you love showing people your tank, editing videos, and having people go, yeah, this is nice, but also accept that people are going to also tell you you're crap, because that happens too.
It's true.
I had a great comment on one of my videos, actually, and I don't reply to a lot of my comments, but it was... Someone had commented on a video about Xenia, and the guy said, if you can't get Xenia out of your tank, can you even feed yourself? I was basically saying it's invasive, and once it's in, it's difficult to get out. And I naturally, being me, I replied saying, do you know who I am? Have you? No, I didn't know quite like that. I said, have you ever checked the other videos on my channel? And he wrote no, and I replied saying yeah, probably best you don't, or something like that.
You love having a pop at people, don't you, in the comments?
If someone writes something nice, it will go over my head. If someone writes something that's a bit like shit, it doesn't offend me, so I don't reply because it's offensive. I reply because I think they're idiots. I'm trying to find it, but I can't. I don't know where it's gone now.
The only other thing I'll say, by the way, is advice for a YouTube channel, you shouldn't ever chase the algorithm, and you can't help but do that, actually, no matter how much you don't want to. But it is demoralizing if you're uploading loads of videos and you're getting like 5 or 6 views or 100 views or whatever. And one thing that's good to do is, for a new channel, product reviews do well. So if you could, and because if you're brand new, you've probably not been given stuff for free, so you can be completely honest and completely open, and people really appreciate those videos, especially if you've had something long term. Make it long. There aren't many long term reviews around, so they're really useful. They get more views than just uploading a video of your tank generally. But also, what I did as well was I went on all the channels I followed. I'd sorted videos by high to low in terms of the most number of views, and worked out what people wanted to watch. So people love watching sump videos. People love watching videos about setting up a new tank. And there's jellyfish. Certain
jellyfish. They love jellyfish. Well. Why?
But there are certain videos that you'll be able to work out that just generally do well. So if you've got a Red Sea Reaper 250, for example, make a video about the sump and you'll get views. I mean, that's especially if you had a brand new tank in particular. But anyway, whatever.
Carping on with Hammy has asked where the farm is. The farm is in the south of England. It's about probably half an hour from Brighton. So I mean West Sussex, but it tells you on every single post on Facebook and Instagram where the farm is. Okay. Yeah, just because he's asking. And Lycia says that she should bully me more. Bring it on. I'm not worried. I have an incredibly thick skin. And I can, let's put it this way, I give it pretty good, don't I? I'm more than happy to say things. The other day I annoyed you just because I was bored. So I have to expect some in return. I'm actually waiting for you to for the repercussions of that.
Okay. Oh, that one. Yeah. The Instagram post. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I didn't see. This is funny because you would tell people what you did.
I was bored the other day. I was in the gym and I was bored and I thought, I'm going to annoy Alex. I've not annoyed Alex for a while. So I posted a link for Alex's Etsy store, reef.exe.co.uk. No, .com
for God's sake.
on my Instagram story. And then after that, I put ... All profit from this will go towards Alex's hair transplant or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I sent, you saw it, didn't you? But you didn't see the second bit. So you thought I was being genuinely nice.
Yeah. So I reposted. I was like, oh, thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. So yeah, you reposted it, not realizing the second bit was me taking the piss out of you. And it was just because I was bored. And I thought, I'm going to annoy Alex. So as I said, I'm waiting for the repercussions of that, but we shall see.
I'll build something up big.
But you're pretty calm and placid though, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I like banter. So I welcome people taking the piss out.
I did wonder if that would annoy you when I did it. I was like, is this going to annoy Alex? And then I thought, actually, Alex doesn't give a shit about anything.
No, I started getting bored at the age of 20. I'm used to people taking the piss out of me for it. So it's totally fine. I knew someone previously who guy was bored as well. And I kind of like, I got to know him over a course of a couple of years. And then I decided, let's have a bit of bald banter. And he didn't like it at all. So some people can be sensitive, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think people can tell from how we are every single week that neither of us are sensitive.
No, indeed. Although you're sensitive to negative comments. You and I have very different approaches. So if someone has a pop at me, I'll generally ignore them.
No, see,
but you like to fire back.
No, yeah, but I don't fire back because I'm annoyed. I fire back because it's like a sport.
No, I know, but just...
It's like, so I replied to that guy. He then replied to me again, and then I replied again, and then he hasn't responded. So I won, as far as I'm concerned.
No one's won in that.
And then what I usually do is I will pin their comment to the top of the video so that other people can tell him he's an idiot as well.
Oh, that's even worse. See, I don't like, if I do sometimes find that if someone... post a negative comment, other people start piling in replying to defend me, and that's really nice, but I don't like that because it's like it ends up people arguing, and it's like, so you know,
if it's something where I can't I don't know, as I'm sure I've told you this before, obviously at one point I was a lady, wasn't I, when I had a YouTube channel.
Probably need to explain that, but yeah.
So obviously I the original channel was started with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and she was obviously the face of the channel. So just to clarify, when I was a lady, was that moment. And when you are a lady in this, as a YouTuber, you get a whole different experience. And there was one person that decided to, remember, I dealt with all the comments, all the social media, everything, that decided to send me, one man decided to send me a picture of their, you know, gentleman regions.
This is pretty funny, to be fair.
So what I did is I found that person on Facebook. I found all of the people that were related to that person on Facebook by their surname. And then I responded to their picture of their penis by saying, here is a picture of all the people you know. Which one would you like me to send the picture that you just sent me to first? And then that person then panicked. They absolutely shit themselves. And I can assure you that person never sent another picture of their penis to anyone else ever again.
Well, that's a criminal offence now. It's called cyber flashing, I think.
Is it? I don't know. Yeah,
it's pretty disgusting. So I wouldn't, if you'd have actually sent those photos to his parents or whatever, yeah. I wouldn't have any problem with that, because that's the sort of thing that his family might say to him. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. No, that's, of course.
That's so unacceptable.
I just wonder, has that ever worked for anyone?
But you hear about it all the time. So I don't know. It's just, but why do you want to do that? Like, what are you expecting? Someone to go, oh, wow, that's amazing. Are you free now? You know,
depends how impressive you are. But
I think it does, to be honest.
But it's like that. That's what I mean. I see these people sometimes as it's like a sport for me, because I'm like, if it's just a comment going, you're an idiot, I don't care. I'll just delete it or whatever. But if it's something that's like where I can have a bit of fun with it, then I'm fair game.
Fair enough. I just like positivity. I don't like... Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Tangent. We have gone off on a tangent. What else? So the whole title of the stream was The Tank Is Gone. So I should give you a tank update. There's not really much to say about it. It went this weekend. The physical tank went this weekend. And it got collected. And so that is now out of my room. And my missus already started taking the wallpaper down. So next weekend, we're going to be doing some decorating. Because bank holiday weekend in the UK, so 4 days off work in a row. So we'll do some decorating that weekend. And then after that, I'm going to order the tank. And then it's 3 weeks. I've got to give 3 weeks notice. It might be 4 weeks before they get it, 5 weeks, whatever. I'm in no rush. But it'll be probably a month from now-ish is when the tank will arrive and I'll be able to do a proper reveal.
You should be in a rush. That fish bill is getting expensive. You know, that the fish hotel pellets.
You're saving money.
I don't know if I am saving what? Why would feed them pellets? I suppose, it's cheaper than mice. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Feeding them tripe. I need to get them back on a proper diet.
That's true.
They've got a much more varied diet with you, to be fair. It's good.
Yeah.
They're going to hate it. They're going to be like, oh, this dickhead, when they come back.
Yeah. It's like a fish hotel for them.
Ah, shrimp again. Great. Thanks.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, well, so that's about a month or so until it's all gone. So until the tank is back, the new tank is in place. But in the meantime, I'm so enjoying my water box. It's just so awesome. Although I've got Aptasia. Where's my Aptasia X? So I've got two Aptasia. So I bought Aptasia X today. I've got there's a guy I messaged on who's got Bergia nudibranchs. So one of them's too big, so I need to zap it down a bit. Yeah. But I'm going to buy some Bergias and put them in there because I have no wrasse in the water box at the moment. So the plan is zap the two big. There's only one really big one. Zap that and then put the Bergias in and see what they do. So the guy I'm buying the Bergias off, he had a load of them. They just kept breeding, and he was selling them as fast as he could, basically. But what he said, he found that sometimes the Aptasia can eat the Bergias.
Really?
Yeah, so it's an Aptasia eating nudibranch getting eaten by an Aptasia.
So that is an Aptasia eating nudibranch.
So, which I'd never heard that before. That was interesting. But I'm trying to. I've only got a couple. I don't really care. Weirdly, so I noticed one the other day, a month or so ago, in one particular spot, and it disappeared. Like a few weeks later, I just left it and it disappeared. But I know there's at least two, and if you can see two, there's probably 100 or more. But it is a bit annoying having Aptasia in that tank, because the only problem is the new tank will be all LBS, so I can't get a copper band, I can't get a filefish, so I'm limited really. And peppermint shrimp, I've always been fine with peppermint shrimp until I got one that started eating my torch coral, and now I'm like,
You'll have a copper band, I reckon.
No way. Not with LPS. Not with a LPS-dominated tank. Different story. Too risky.
No, I have a copper band every tank.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I'd have one long term. Nah, I don't want it.
Copper bands used to be like 30 quid. They're now like 75 quid, I think.
75 quid? Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're not cheap. They were.
Yeah, okay. But
if you want one of those, prestigious prestige reef cob bands, you let me know.
Yeah, lots of ads.
95 quid.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I'm not a lot I can do about it, to be honest. But anyway, so peppermint shrimp, I would normally go for. But when you have one bad experience, it makes you more nervous. Even though I've had dozens of peppermint shrimps over the years, and they've all been fine except for this one. But when you get that one, you're like,
Yeah. Bergiers are usually the way to go, but the problem is you will have RAS, obviously. So
that's the problem. When the new tank is up and running, I will have RAS.
You've got two, haven't you, at the moment? You've got the mystery RAS. Is it mystery RAS? And that black and white one.
Yeah, the leopard RAS. And I'll probably have a couple more as well. But I haven't decided if I'm going to have sand or not yet. I've bought sand, so I probably am. But the water box at the moment is bare bottom. First time I've ever gone bare bottom. And it's just looking so good. And that's not necessarily just because it's bare bottom, of course.
Yeah.
But when you have a tank that is so successful like that and the corals look so healthy, it makes me think, well, why would I set it up any differently? But I like having a fish that live in the sand and that sort of stuff. So I think I probably will. And it looks better.
No, I would never, ever have a tank that didn't have sand in it. Obviously the coral farm has no sand in it, but it just looks weird. Do you know, the best tank I ever had was my 1,000-liter tank. And if you've never had a tank like this, you won't understand how life-changing it is. The 1,000-liter tank had a lip around the bottom of the tank.
So you
couldn't see the sand. So you know that like green and brown and all the rubbish that you see? If you, I hate that. And if ever I had a custom tank built, I would have that built in the same, because all the Red Sea tanks and the water box tanks, I notice it every day.
The Nias Opus series, I think, has it's recessed down, that's but only weird, about an inch or something.
That's weird. So my one had it was almost like it was a normal stand, and then it came out slightly, and then it covered up just like that. Okay. So it wasn't like the whole thing was sitting down into it. Because I think the Nios tanks look a bit, I mean, each to their own. Some people like them, but I think for me, they look a bit odd.
Yeah, fair enough. Alex, apparently peppermint shrimp eat bergia. I'd be slightly surprised at that, but that's not a problem because I wouldn't have both at the same time. But yeah. So I don't know though, because I just like the idea of going bare bottom because this one's been so good. But I like sand. It does look good. Although in my main tank, my SPS tank, the sand bed got blown all over the place because I had high flow. And the stuff that settled that didn't get blown about because it was in a flat spot was all dark coloured because it was covered in algae.
I'm just recommending it so it increases your chance of getting diatoms. Because everyone's going to be rooting for you. And I'm going to be please don't be better.
But I don't know. I probably will go for sand, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea. Because it doesn't look the same without sand. So that tank looks fantastic, the water box. But having a black bottom all across, it just looks a bit dark and bleak. Yeah. And that white sand does make it look a bit better. So I probably will go for it. But
the other thing that my 1,000-liter tank had, it had a dark blue background, which I actually... So all tanks these days have black backgrounds, as far as I know. Whereas the dark blue background, I actually preferred. Because it... Like the black can completely wash out some fish where you just cannot see them.
Okay.
I was just going to say, it wasn't dark blue. It was actually light blue, but it wasn't too light.
I was going to say, so I had a light blue. This was my first ever tank. It's covered in crud there, but you can see that's kind of light blue.
People would dream to have that as their first ever tank.
Really? Look at all the Aptasia. And this is Dino Flagellus, I think. And
I know, but it's like an SPS tank, which people, even after years, aren't willing to try sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. This was a couple of years in. That tank looks rubbish to me. The Duncan on the right that looks really sad, pissed off. Look at the sand covered in algae and all that sort. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, so that was a blue background. I think I prefer a black background, to be fair. But I did one thing. The reason I went for the Peninsula in the end was because I had a small, like it was a Mini Reef 120. So it was a little cube, basically. And I looked through the side of it. And when you look through two panes of glass, the tank just looks so bright. So there's no background at all. It looks so bright. Whereas when you look against the black background, it's a bit dark. And I loved seeing through two panes of glass. So having the Peninsula against the wall, apart from the wallpaper, it was really bright because there was no background. So it looked really cool.
The wallpaper.
I never noticed that though. Like day one, you're like, oh, look, wallpaper. But after day one, you forget about it. And then you get reminded because people comment on it.
Yeah, true.
But I two panes, and actually the water box here, so it's got the back to the wall where the camera is, and so I can see through two sides, and it's really bright because I can see through two panels of glass. And that is what I really like that, I have to say.
See, I would hate that. I want something behind. Obviously, I know you have a background on that tank. You're just looking from the side of it. Yeah. But no, I'm not sure I'd ever want a peninsula tank. I just don't like the look of them. I don't like it. Like in your case, especially the one in your living room, I just did not like the fact you could see through it. It's like a distraction. It takes away from the tank itself.
Well, what if the wall was white behind it?
If the wall was black, it would be different. What? Yeah, okay. It would be weird to have a black wall, but if your wall was black, it would look more normal, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I just love seeing, because my wall here behind this one is white, just white wall, and you can see it. But oh, it's wicked. I love seeing through two panes of glass. It looks really cool. But all right,
yeah, each to their own.
What was I going to say? I think have we wrapped up high to low? Oh yeah, no. I think that's everything in week in reefing for me. Aptasia X was the last thing that I'm going to be using. But that's it. Anything else from you in your week in reefing?
No.
Well, in which case, last week I forgot member questions.
Not good. That means we've got double member questions.
And you didn't remind me. So
sorry, I apologize for that.
Really, it's all your fault.
Yeah.
But I'm going to remember them this week. So we've got double member questions. So apologies to the two who I missed last week. First was from Gary McConnell, who says he's going to upgrade to a 600 millimeter cube from a Fluval Evo. I think he's asked this question today as well. Any suggestions? I'm looking at a Red Sea 170 or a Waterbox 60.2. What would your suggestions be for one of those two or a different one? Do you have any input? It's less than 6 foot, Ryan, so I don't know how you feel about it.
Like, if you're looking at a Red Sea or a Waterbox, they're both roughly the same. Like, you will be happy with either one because you'll never know what the other one was actually like. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. It's like they're both good tanks. They both have pros and cons, like, to them. But yeah, whichever one you pick, you won't be wrong because you'll be happy with both.
None of the main manufacturers make bad tanks anymore. They're all really good.
Yeah.
I actually would go for option three, which is the Red Sea Reefer 200XL, because that's wider front to back, bigger. I think it's 55 centimeters. Is it 55 centimeters? Oh, no, even better, 57.5. And I think the other one is fit. But anyway, whatever. The bigger, the better, basically. And front to back width, because it makes your aquascape a bit more gentle, a bit nicer. But yeah, the Gen 2 Red Sea Reefers have stepped up their game quite a lot, and I think the plumbing is better, but they're both really good tanks. And I don't think if one came up on offer, 20% off, or if you got a 6 month old one for half price or something, go for that.
I'm looking forward to seeing your new tank, because the one thing I want to feel is the build quality of the stand, because that's what Waterbox do really well, I think. When you touch the doors, they feel heavy. And whenever you pick something up that's heavy, you feel like it's high quality. Yeah. even though it makes no difference, it's irrelevant, but it feels high quality. Whereas I remember the Red Sea doors didn't feel like that. They felt like they were like cheap. And although it's irrelevant, I can't wait to come to your house and just press the door just to see how it feels.
I mean, that's a top-end tank, so that'll be... It's $5,000.
It was a much smaller tank, the one the Red Sea I had. So that's why I'm interested to see if the more expensive, bigger tanks have are built better. If you see what I mean.
So the doors on my Red Sea didn't feel any different to the doors on the Waterbox, in that they both feel fairly solid, and neither of them felt cheap. But the one thing, the Cade behind me, the heaviest stand I've ever, it's tiny little 50 centimeter. It's so heavy. Yeah. And it's aluminium, and oh, that's really proper solid. That's going nowhere. Yeah. But the Red Sea one that I'm getting is aluminium as well, which feels a bit more solid. But I would go for the Reefer 200XL. But any of those, actually, the DD Reef Pro 600 as well is worth a look. I don't know if on the smaller one it has the corner sloping weir box. That's quite cool. Are there any other tanks I'd look at? I would try to get a 6 month old tank. Any of them, basically. Yeah. Don't be too fussy. If it's 6 months old, it'll be in almost mint condition. You'll get it half price. And then if it doesn't matter if it's the Waterbox, the Red Sea, or the DD, you'll get a really good deal. They come up quite often. You might have to wait a couple of months, but if you want to go brand new, I don't any of them. I don't think the 200 XL is the one I would go for, but I don't think I wouldn't say, oh, you can't get the water box or you can't get the DD. Even the Cades are nice. They're all nice.
Yeah. Any of them will be fine. Because, yeah. As I said a minute ago, you will not know. If you have both of them, you might have a preference, but you won't have both of them.
No. There are pros and cons of both. And I've done a video comparing Red Sea and Waterbox. It's a little outdated now because Red Sea have updated all their tanks since then. So their plumbing has improved, and I didn't like the plumbing so much before. And there's other things that have changed. But you can go and look at that video, and that will tell you the sorts of differences that you get between the tanks. They're minor. Like the plumbing, I think the plumbing on the water boxes was better before. Now I think it's probably level or if not better. I liked that the Red Sea one, you could remove the baffles to put in a filter roller, whereas on the water box you couldn't, but I think that might have changed now. And I like that the water box had a gate valve, whereas the Red Sea had a diaphragm valve. Red Sea now has supposedly improved the diaphragm valve, so maybe that's not such a big thing. But they're all little things like that that don't really make a huge difference. The Red Sea one has a removable weir comb, whereas the water box doesn't, although some of the water box do. So, but even if it's got a removable weir comb or not, that's not a reason to not to buy it or to buy it. So,
because the chances are you'll never remove it.
I had to eventually because you got covered in a basing out aggro. But it's not. You just get the one that you think looks the best or that you get the best deal on or that fits in your space best. I don't think there's any of them I would say you've got to go for this one or don't go for that one or whatever. I don't know if that's helpful. I think it is. But sorry if we've just kind of said, whatever.
Pick whatever you want.
Yeah, basically. But I think that's an honest answer. Question number two is from this is from Edward, who says he's taking a big leap this week. After finally keeping Pockies and Monty's healthy, I'm adding a few acros from Tidal Gardens. They're very fancy. I have an ITC par wise. What par should I look for when picking spots? Minimum par would be greatly appreciated. Hashtag Cult of Calcutta. Good man.
I'm going to let you first because you're the acro man.
So I actually answered this last week because I followed up because I'd forgotten. So I said 200 to 350 is generally recommended for SBS. So 200 is your minimum. Yeah. And that remains my answer a week on. So there are some people who will run lights really high, really, really high par, and have great success. But it's best to, especially if you're getting used to new corals, acros, it's best to not to push it and just go like WWC always keep it between 200 and 350. I think that's what they do. Their tanks are all right. So go for that. I would go for 2 to 350. But acros probably want more lights than Monty's.
Oh, obviously, definitely.
Yeah, well, they do want more light than Monty. Yeah, that doesn't mean that if you're giving your Monty too much light, you should give the acro even more light. But anyway, there you go. Yeah, the more, not the more, the better. 2 to 350. And so that's last week's questions. Again, sorry for the tardiness. This week's questions. Gary McConnell. I think is he the one who we were just asking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's the same question. So Gary, same answer. Next one is from Das Lettuce. Ryan, since you're quarantining all your fish again, this seems like a good opportunity to pick up that Achilles tang. How soon till we see a new Achilles update in an update video?
Look, Achilles seem to come in like batches where you can get them at certain times of year. I haven't seen an Achilles that I've yet. So there have been a few around, but there haven't been a few that I've not actually seen one personally myself. So I've not been tempted. Would I get one? Once I've quarantined these fish, I feel like I'm done for fish for a while because obviously I'm going to have to wait up to 3 months. So do I want to put them all back in? And then tempt fate again with a fish, which is particularly bad for disease. I would quarantine it by itself. Right. I'll be honest with you. I am actually looking for new fish at the moment, because I just think I can put them in the 70-liter tank if it's something small, and I can get it out of the way now. Because otherwise, I'm going to have to start an entirely new quarantine period. If you see what I mean. I want to. I want to put the fish in and go, right, I'm done for fish for a while. So if that will happen or not, I don't know. I've got RAS, I've got tangs for algae control and RAS for pest control. So I don't need anything like once they're in, and I can just leave it. So I just think that I've been burnt recently, and I'm not in the mood for buying for a buying the Achilles at the moment, especially when they're like £600.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch an Achilles. I'd love an Achilles, but I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
It's not. It isn't just a disease either. They have a thing where they're just happy just to not eat until they die.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not like some fish are prone to hunger strikes. So that fish has lots of things going wrong with it, not just like one thing going wrong with it. If you see what I mean. So copper bands, once you get them feeding. And if there's no aggression, they're usually pretty okay. Whereas an Achilles will be aggressive. It will potentially introduce a disease, and there is a high possibility that no matter what you feed it, it will still starve.
Yeah.
So it's a high risk.
Yeah.
So I just don't think.
I'm going to interject the member questions with moderator questions.
Yeah.
Ideal KH in your guys' opinion? I don't think there is an ideal KH personally. But
8.4 is what people usually recommend around that. So
I'll tell you what, let me tell you what my alkalinity is in both of my tanks at the moment.
It's going to be like 6.
8.5, yes.
There you go. Okay. See?
So it's 8.5 on the Cade. Yeah. What is it on the water box? No way, 8.54. So it's 8.54 on the water box and 8.52 on the Cade. So it's 8.5, basically.
But you almost got a gold star.
I know, yeah. Oh, it's too high. I need to get it down. But so I'm happy when it's around 8.
Yes.
But because it'll go down. If it gets down to 7, I want to bump it up. And if it gets up to 9, I want to bump it down. If you want me to give you an answer, 8 is roughly 8.5, something like that is roughly where I would like it to be, because that gives you a buffer. And one, if these KH keepers, because the pH probes drift over time, the dosing heads need calibrating. So if that alkalinity, if it's telling me it's 8.5 and it's actually 7.5, well, then that a level of 8 gives you a bit of a buffer zone.
Yes.
But also that gives you a bit of a buffer zone if it starts to swing. So, you know, so around 8.5.
But, do you know what else is important as well?
What's that?
The general consensus is that most people will keep it around between 8 and 9. So you can run it at 9, you can run it at 11. I actually ran it at 12 at one point, so to increase growth, but you also have to increase light and nutrients. So do not increase your alkalinity to 12, people. That's not me recommending it. But if everyone else, including fish shops, other reefers, are all running their tanks roughly that around that amount, you don't want to run yours at 12. Because then it stresses the new corals you put in.
I've never understood that idea of... that's not true that I never understood. But I don't like the idea of aiming for a high alkalinity to increase growth. Because it's like, don't try to force it. There are so many other things you can do that are better that for increasing growth than trying to rush it, living on a ragged edge.
People think that if you increase alkalinity, you'll get better growth. Most people get burnt tips because what they don't realize is you have to increase alkalinity, calcium, magnesium. You have to increase everything to give the coral everything it needs to do it. Can you do it? Yes. The corals don't grow as hardy. They're not as thick either. When you increase,
have you done it before then?
Yeah, my 1,000 liter tank was run at 12. So I used to. I ran it like that for years, but I don't recommend it. And quite often, people will only increase their alkalinity, not realizing you have to increase everything.
Right. Okay.
It's about a balance, but it's the same as any everything to do with our tank. It's about balance. So, you are correct. It's not worth doing. This is what I say to people: stop trying to turbocharge your tanks.
Completely.
But especially if you're in a beginner, and so most people who want to turbocharge their tanks have tanks with not a lot of coral in because they're relatively new. But that's the worst thing you can do, because what you should do is you should just aim to keep your coral alive and just wait, and you'll get the same result.
I think that was a time when I was thinking about temperature and all these sorts of things that that might improve growth. And because, but now it's like, I just patience. If it takes 2 years, take 2 years. That's fine. Yeah. It's hard to see that way. And you want, you don't, if you've had a tank for 6 months and nothing's really grown, you want to try to do things to boost it. But there are better ways. Getting your flow right, your lighting right, your parameters right, just generally keeping your salinity steady and all that sort of stuff, that will be, that will have a better impact than just whacking up your alkalinity, for example.
If you want a far less risky way of increasing your growth by 50% without having to do... Pardon?
He's going to say it, people. Go on.
What am I going to say?
Oh, he's not going to say it.
I'm intrigued by what you're about to, what you think I'm going to say now.
Tell me, what should people do to growth increase growth by 50%?
Buy two pieces.
Oh, it's such a salesman.
It's like simple mathematics, basically. You will not stress your corals. They'll grow twice as quickly. There are some people that do that. Some people will sometimes buy four or five pieces of one coral from me, which is odd, but they're doing what I'm suggesting, if you see what I mean.
Costs twice as much money there if you buy two. My answer was going to be, I thought you were going to say kalkwasser.
No, that wasn't what I was going to suggest, but you could do that. Yeah. But yeah.
But then even people get the wrong idea with kalkwasser. And I get the comment I get most often is, I'm dosing a load of kalkwasser, but my alkalinity keeps going up. How can I stop that? And the answer is dose less kalkwasser, because that's what it does. So don't just try to pour in as much as you can. Anyway, whatever. I've made a video on that. But yeah, so there you go. 8.4 is the correct answer, according to Ryan. Exactly 8.4. No higher.
Exactly 8.4. No.
So I'm in trouble because
your tank will settle somewhere between 8 and 9 usually. Like if you're
that's my happy place, really. 8 to 9. Okay. More member. One final member question, Edward. And this is I think he asked last week as well. Supervillain. That's like Supervillain Origin. Yeah. So is Supervillain Origin a film or something?
No, I don't watch your films, do I?
Origin. Unsatisfied with comments and likes at the LFS and socials, I decided to prove my genius with my first ICP test. It came back 52. Captain Reef Dork. What came back 52? 52. Captain Reef Dork, the prestige kid. Can you talk me out of hitting the button that releases the clown trigger, the grouper? I think this is a BRS thing. And reroutes the skimmate into the display tank. Bwahahaha. Or maybe talk about this is a hobby that when you think you have the hang of it, it goes sideways. Do you understand that?
I zoned out probably about 4 words in. So I was waiting for you. That actually happens quite a lot when there's member questions. You then repeat it for me again.
I don't understand that. I'm sorry, Edward. I don't understand that. If you're in the chat, I've seen you. So tell me what I'm missing. But I
want to know why I'm called Prestige the Kid.
The Prestige Kid, yeah. And Captain Reefdog. I like that I'm Captain.
Is that like Billy the Kid? I'm like some sort of cowboy, or am I just like a kid?
I think it's more like Alex the Kid. Did you ever have Alex the Kid on the Master System? Bet you didn't. You're too young.
No, too young.
Who in the chat had Alex the Kid on the Master System?
I don't know what a Master System is.
Oh, Sega. Did you have a Mega Drive, or did you have a PlayStation? Did you have computer games?
My first ever was a Nintendo. Oh, I had a Game Boy, but my first ever was a Nintendo 64. So
I actually have coincidentally, and this is another tangent, I was googling yesterday the Atari Lynx. 10 points for anyone in the chat who had an Atari Lynx. I had one when I was a kid. It was awful, but there was one game called Xenophobe that was really good fun, and there was a racing game, I can't remember what it was, but it was brilliant. It was really good. So yeah, 10 points you win if you had an Atari Lynx.
It's funny the impact that they have, because you remember these from when you were a kid.
Yeah.
I remember it was Mario Kart. That was the first game I ever had. And I played my granddad and I lost and I cried. And I was 21. No, I wasn't 21.
I was gonna say.
I remember Echo the Dolphin. That was on Sega. So
Echo the Dolphin. No, that was a bit crap, to be honest, but I still liked it. But yeah, I used to be into game PlayStations and all that quite a lot, but I kind of...
And then you met someone.
No, not even that. Like, I had a PS3, I think it was the last one I had. Or maybe it was a PS4, I can't remember. PS3, I think. And I kept buying games. I'd play them once and never play them again.
Yeah.
So I think I just kind of got bored of it. But I remember when I was at school, I used to think, I had a conversation with one of my mates when I was like, I've just seen what salary you can earn when you're a grown up. And it was like, I don't know, 20 grand a year or whatever. I was like, we could buy a new game every week.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
You were genuinely like, oh, that's what I'll do.
It is funny that because I saw a meme on that the other day saying, when I'm older, I'll be able to buy all the games I want. And then it's like, when you're older, you haven't got the energy to play all the games you want or the desire.
Yeah.
But I've never had a PlayStation. Not for me. Never I have an Xbox and I have a Nintendo Switch.
I never had an Xbox or a Nintendo Switch or an N64.
Yeah, no, Nintendo 64 was way better than the PlayStation.
This is going to date me now. Did you ever have a Sinclair ZX Spectrum?
I'm not even sure what words you just said.
Okay. It had like, you play the games on tape and you press play. It's like a fax.
Did you used to play Pac-Man?
And Tetris. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I played Tetris. Yeah, I didn't have a Game Boy. Only rich kids had Game Boys, but I used to pinch people, like play with people's Game Boys at school. Prestige Reef Talk Show. Hang on, fish. Right, carry on. So that's
people I think are bored of the fish. Sometimes they want to hear about us.
I know, yeah. But that's lots of people have had Game Gears and stuff in the chat. Anyway, what was I going to say? So that's all of the member questions, and we've done mod questions as well. Les, if you ever want to post questions every week, we can have a regular sesh, regular section. So it's moderator questions. Alex, I'll show you my age and see if you remember the name. Salman Rushdie, well, I know who he is, bought a Lynx for his son. And his son and me, hang on a second. Salman Rushdie bought a Lynx for his son and me when we were on holiday with him whilst he was in hiding. That's mental.
I don't know what any of that means. A Lynx, as far as I'm concerned, is a big cat or a deodorant can. So,
do you know who Salman Rushdie is?
I recognize the name, but no.
Okay. I think he's dead now. Is he dead? Anyway.
Did he get stabbed?
Possibly. He wrote a book called The Satanic Verses.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, he did get stabbed. He didn't die from it.
I do not. I forget what religion it was, but I think he was critical of Islamic faith. I can't remember what it was now, but he was basically, there was like a people didn't like it at all. Yeah. Anyway, that's the coolest celebrity story we've had. Islamic. Yeah. Anyway, so moving on, we now have the Prestige Reef Fish of the Week. And we do have a pre-prepared fish this week.
We do have a pre-prepared fish,
which I'm impressed with.
This week, I have gone. Remember, I like to show people like weird things you don't see all the time. I am going to go for a dragon moray eel, and I always wanted one of these. When I first started, when I first started my tank, I only wanted a I only wanted a fish only tank. And this was one of the fish I wanted. This is how stupid I was. I wanted one of these, a puffer fish, a frog fish, a trigger fish, and all those sorts of, and a shark. That's what I wanted when I first started. And I look back now and think that was such a stupid idea because the frog fish would have been a pain in the ass to feed. That eel probably would have taken bites out of everything because they do eat fish. But they're also, they cost £2,000. So if you want a fish which is not very active, you can't keep anything with it, and cost £2,000, and this is the fish for you.
There you go. But, do they get massive?
Yes, they do. And I think they also will bite you as well.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, look at those teeth. Look at those
teeth as well, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to get bitten by that.
They used to have a whole tank full of about seven of them. It could be five, it could be seven, at London Aquarium. There was just a tank at the very end that just had dragon eels in it. That's the only place I've ever seen them.
Okay. I was going to suggest a fish of the week this week. It's a scribbled...
Well, you can't.
Well, I know.
It's not your thing.
We're going to have fishes of the week this week.
Okay.
And the one I was going to suggest was a scribbled leather jacket filefish. Ever heard of them?
I might recognize a picture of them, but...
I saw one of these in my local fish shop, Reefkeeper Moss End, today or yesterday, whenever I was in, and it's a horrible looking fish. But then I saw this photo on Instagram on the Quality Marine. Have you seen that?
I have. I've seen fish that look similar to that. I couldn't say it was the same one.
It's a funny looking, very long file. Yeah. Fish. Weird.
Do they get massive?
22 inches long, apparently.
I feel like I've seen them in the wild.
Oh, really?
Like, you see fish that are, they might not be exact that exact fish, but a fish that looks similar to that.
Yeah. So I'd never seen one before. I saw it in the shop today. I was like, oh, and then I saw it on Quality Mean. So I guess there's a bunch of them or whatever. It's in season. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, okay. So anyway, Dragon Moray Eel is the Prestige Reef Fish of the Week.
Yes.
Oh, no. I had the Coral of the Week lined up, but I've dropped. Right. Tell us what the...
I was all ready, and look at this. You're not even...
I'm ready.
Right. So the Coral of the Week is actually one of my favorite corals, which I don't think is appreciated enough by people. I have gone for a Fungia. Fungias are cool, they're usually quite bright. You can get them in, most of them are green. You get them in orange, like that one. You get them with white with like a purple edge.
Okay.
And also the more expensive ones are red usually, although you get a couple which are orange, half orange and half green. There's that one there. You can see a half orange and half green one was actually my coral. No, up one.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. That one. That literally is my picture. It was very expensive.
£700. Did you sell it?
I did.
Wow.
Yep. It was like one of a kind.
But it's got little bits of green bleeding in the other side as well.
I know. Cool. There were a few of these popped up because they had a couple in a popped up in America, and then I got that one. It sold. I can't remember if it sold at the full price or if it was someone did a 20% discount or something on it, but it did sell. And the reason it sold for that, it was so expensive, was it because it cost me so much money as well.
Yeah. But
fungias are pretty tough. So I just thought, although it's going to cost me a lot, I used to buy corals that I liked so I could look at them, knowing that no one's ever going to buy them until someone eventually buys them. And then I'm like, oh, I really like that. But I find them charismatic, which is, it sounds like a weird thing to say.
It does.
But they blow up at night into these like big, to like triple the size. And also when you put food on them, you can watch the food go up into the center and then the mouth opens and the food goes in and then the mouth closes over it.
Yeah, okay. So I've got two tiny fungias, but they were, my local fish shop fragged them. So they were like slice of pizza shaped, but they've now started to grow into a proper fungi shape. One is orange. The other one is, I think it's green and blue, maybe.
Are they definitely fungias? Because there's something that's very similar to fungias.
It's not a heliofunga.
No, there's, I can't remember the name of it. There's something that are often sold as fungias, which someone in the chat would say. And when the name comes up, I'll say, yeah, that's it. I think it begins with M. It's got some weird, like, I definitely would recognize it, but they are fungi. They look like fungias, but they frag themselves.
Oh, really? Whereas, I don't know. I'll have to have a closer look.
I'm not sure if you can frag normal fungias. I don't know. Well, you probably can.
Go and have a look because these are my first ever fungias.
Yeah.
But just talk about fungias for a bit, and I'm going to go and have a look.
I like how you just walk off. Just as I right, what do you want to talk about fungias? Oh, you're back. That was good. I thought you were going downstairs, then I realized you haven't got a tank.
No. They're definitely fungias. Oh, well, I say they are. They've got the mouth in the middle and they look like fungias to me.
I want someone to because I bought, are they round?
Yes, they are now.
Maybe
they weren't when I first got them.
Yeah.
But you said earlier that a minute ago, Alex, you're just in your pants. Oh, no, I can't tell you that story.
Are you? Sorry, I didn't even notice that.
I'm not. I'm wearing jeans.
Oh.
But I did. I once was on a video. Did it look like I was? I'm wearing jeans. I promise.
I didn't even notice. But everyone's saying you're in your boxers.
I'm not. Look. I'll prove it.
I'm not sure. I like that pose.
I was once, I know, I was once on a video call and I was just wearing my boxers and like shirt up and I had to leave and I had to like try to stand up without like showing, you know, must have looked really weird. But anyway.
Oh. I'm not even wearing boxers. I always do these with no pants on or trousers.
Wear your hands right now. Can you keep them up here at all times, please? Because otherwise. you said earlier that you buy corals that you like.
Yes. Yeah.
Like red and black lobo.
That came as on an import. That was just random.
Yeah, okay. So I've got £200 of store credit for prestigereef.co.uk, haven't I?
True. You're not going to take that logo, are you?
That would cover that.
Yeah, but you don't like it.
I liked it when I saw it, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Oh, that would, that would be brutal. If you took that, it would hurt so much.
Now I've seen, now I can buy it, and it's free as well. That's even better.
That's true. That is,
you don't
yeah.
get any money. True. Oh. Now, you know, you said you, yes. you were waiting for me to get you back earlier. Dioceris. Oh, yeah, Dioceris.
I'm pretty sure that's the one that people often think of fungi.
Dioceris.
Yes, yeah, that is exactly it.
Okay, so let me Dioceris. Okay, so there's, let me show you this one. So is this a Dioceris?
Yes.
It is definitely not one of those.
I think there's there they also have,
is this a Dioceris?
Well, it's sold as a Dioceris. So
yeah, but
I would say, because I have a Dioceris at the moment, which is gold. It looks quite right. similar to one of those pictures, and it look and it has those little tentacles on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're fun. These are actually a bit more. If it was like this, this would be really cool. But I don't think it is. Oh, colorblind Dioceris. Yeah, I don't think it is that, you know. But it could be. It's, they're very similar, isn't it?
Yeah, they are. They are similar. But
these
one
are
them,
much brighter colors than mine.
One of them, I think, can be fragged, and one of them, I might be completely wrong.
Yeah. Okay. You might be right. I might, if I, maybe I've got a Dioceris. I think so. These are all really cool colors. I'm pretty sure it's a fungi. They don't look, the polyps look more uniformly patterned than these.
Go down, but one picture. Yeah, that one.
It's not like that. I think they're fungi. These do look quite different actually, but yeah. Could be. Will you buy it off me for double the price if it's a Dioceris?
No, I'm going to try and sell you my Dioceris I've got. I've got a nice gold one. And because it's gold, very expensive.
Quality bare bottom joke from JJ. Ryan knows what Alex likes, bare bottom. Anyway.
I'm sure that's, so, referring to, that's referring to like an hour ago.
But 2 minutes ago when we were just talking about... Anyway, never mind.
I see, yes.
Okay. So those are the Prestige Reef fish and coral of the week. Which means we are now onto the news. And I've got good news for you, Ryan. We have it's products, but it's fish tanks, which is...
That's not good news.
It's better than lights. Come on. It's better than a contact...
Why would you get my hopes up? I thought, look at this amazing new fish. Actually, there is a fish that you can probably show that's on Reef Builders at the moment.
That's not in the news, but we will do it. Yeah. So the first thing is, and I've been getting a lot of this lately from saltwateraquarium.com, who are currently in Reef Stock Denver. And there was one thing this week that they said that was new, and this is the PNW Custom Small-in-One, it's called, tank. It's a one-gallon rimless tank.
Why?
I'm glad you made that. That was your reaction, because my reaction, what did I write down in my notes? Terrible idea. Is what I wrote. I hate. So these are glass now, whereas there are other ones that were acrylic. So this won't scratch at least, although you can get an acrylic if you want. They're $139.
I like that the picture makes it look like there's a massive light on it.
Yeah, it does. There's a Kessel AP9X behind it, but the light is obviously is this tiny little one here. But it comes with all the equipment and all that sort of stuff. It comes with a light and a heater, I think.
Yeah.
And it's glass, so that's better than acrylic. But it's $139 in the States. You can't get it in the UK. For another $50, you can get a Fluval Evo, which is 13 times the size of that. People will put fish in that one-gallon tank. And that's just, and that tank will look awful for most people in 6 months. You would have to be...
It'll probably look awful in like a week.
But when by the time for the first week, your sand will look nice and everything will be happier. But 6 months down the line, you'll just have algae everywhere. And
what you're saying is the biggest waste of money. If you want to get a reef tank, get a proper one.
It's not the biggest waste of money, but and actually, they're PNW Custom tiny one, the like 1 liter tank, quarter of a gallon. That was even more expensive. That was crazy, and they are an absolutely horrific idea. These aren't so bad. But for an extra $50, you get a Fluval Evo, which is a really good tank.
Must sell them.
Yeah. And they're quite, that one's quite cheap. But it feels like a good idea. And then you get it and it's like, oh God, this is rubbish. Mm. But I'm not a fan of those. Sorry, PNW Customs. I don't like it. But if they sell, they sell. So, you know, I don't like the idea. People will put fish, people put like a little yellow clown goby or whatever in there. And it's like, that's too small for a fish.
True.
Any fish.
I'm just laughing at the comments.
what the comments are?
There's two. Well, someone wrote, twist the knife, about, you know, about you buying that car.
20%. Oh, yes.
Because it will twist the knife, so I get less for it.
That's a good shout.
And the other one is, again, see, I pronounced Lycia's name wrong. Lycia? How would you pronounce Lycia. That? Lycia, there you go. I quite like that one because it is so true.
This is my favourite part because Ryan's failed attempt to be interested in Alex's new products. Best bit every single week.
This is what people come here for. They come here to watch my face as I try and be entertained.
What else is there? I mean, is there anything else in the chat? I don't think so. No. Okay, so yeah, one gallon tank. I mean, save your money, buy a bigger tank than that. Anyway,
yeah.
So that is, but you can now buy a 1 gallon tank if you wish, if you're in America. The next piece of news is, and actually I quite like this. This is, you know, Twitter is now called X.
Yes.
I'm not on Twitter. I don't like it. Anymore. So it's now called X and you can put videos on X. So what are they called?
X videos.
That's not a good sound, is it? It's not a good name.
No, okay. Probably not. Yeah.
And now you can get the Cade X on that note. And these are little add-on aquariums. I think this is a really good idea, actually. So these are these little add-on aquariums on the side that you can connect to your main tank. And it's basically like a little frag tank, or you can keep whatever in it. So it all runs on the same system.
Yeah.
And it all connects up really easily. Here's the plumbing map, but it's really easy to plug in, basically. And they've even thought through things like there's a little gap between the two aquariums so you can get an algae magnet down the side.
Okay.
And basically you can put this on any tank you want. You could put it on a Red Sea Reefer, a water box, but they're designed to go with the Cades, all the Cade tanks. And I think it gave a list. It was everything. I don't think it would fit on my one, which is the smallest, but anything else, they sit right next to you and they're perfect and you can get the right sizes. So you could set up a frag tank. I had a frag tank in my sump before and it actually wasn't a very good idea, but having a frag tank next to it, having a separate frag tank on its own system is a pain in the ass because then you've got to keep the fresh water top up. You've got to change the dosing. You've got to do double the testing, all that sort of stuff. Whereas having it on the same water volume as your main tank is really good. But setting that up is a pain in the backside. But now Cade have brought out a system that you can just plug and play. I like that.
I saw that article. I thought it's a novelty, which I think some people will do. But I can't imagine. Like, imagine if you, like, in your living room, you've got your tank, and then you go, oh, I'm just going to put this other smaller tank next. It looks a bit odd.
It would look completely. And I actually thought about that. I thought, well, would I get one of those? And I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't look, I want it to look really nice. But if you want that, so that's, I think that's quite a niche product. But for the people who like it, I think that's a really cool idea.
It reminded, who's, is it Danny's Aquariums? You know, where he's got, someone's got three tanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to mention this, but he has 130,000 followers, just to let you know.
I think it's more like 140.
Is it? I saw it today.
I think it's, anyway.
Yeah, just because you know how you overtake everyone.
Danny's Aquarium, I'm never going to catch, to be fair. Well, I can never gauge how well he does, though, because he gets a lot of short views.
Yeah.
And the places I look don't separate short views from main views. He's 140,000. Well done, Danny.
Okay, so only double you, just to bring you back down to earth.
Oh, yeah, double, bastard. Can everybody unsubscribe from him now, please? No, he joins in the chat sometimes. He's very good. Yeah. So these are the tanks that you're talking about.
Yeah. So we see what he's done there. Where he's got three tanks.
Yeah.
I think if you were going to get those Cade tanks, you would need to have two to even out to make it look like that.
Oh, I see. So it's symmetrical.
Yes. I couldn't have one. It would drive me crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Because that does look really nice, actually, doesn't it? It looks like a kind of a designed shop. Yeah, that's a fair point, actually. Go back to the Cades. Yeah, and actually the main picture is one on either side. But that looks, I'm not a fan of two. But yeah, anyway, niche product. But I think it's cool that they've come up with it.
There was a tank that was on Ultimate Reef once, which I think is a clever idea. It might be 12 foot, it could be 14 foot or whatever. But it was like an L-shaped. It went along the wall. You've probably seen this.
Yes,
so it went that way. And then it went that way, so it was an L shape. And in the back was a fish only system. And in the corner there was a separate tank built into that 12 foot tank, which had a reef tank in it, just in the corner. And then the big fish could swim behind the reef. all the way along, and then he would he would have a reef in the middle, which is probably a pain in the ass practically. But it was a novelty idea. I wonder if it's still going. I don't know.
I don't think I've seen it. I don't know the one you're talking about.
It's a cool tank.
Yeah.
So the reason I thought of that idea was because with those K tanks, you could have small fish if you wanted in the little tanks, and then you could have a big fish in the big tank in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
But I don't want it, but I like that it's available.
Yeah.
And the last piece of news is Refactory news. And Refactory, in the Refactory app, you can now get an introducing Notification Center. And this I found out because it popped up in my app and I found it really irritating, to be completely honest. But you can now have an info section that gives you news. Stepping on our toes, Ryan. I've always said that I invented news, but you know.
Oh, good.
Gives you news, it gives you knowledge, tips and all this sort of stuff, and it gives you promos. I don't want any of that. I just want, in my Refactory app, all I want to know is what's my alkalinity, how much am I dosing, that sort of stuff. So I've turned that off, and you can turn it off. But if you like that sort of thing, it's now available. So there you go. And that is not quite the end of the news. You wanted to talk about a fish, but before we do that, it is friend of the show, Jeremy Gay's birthday yesterday. I didn't catch how old he is. I don't think it said, but happy birthday, Jeremy.
There you go. Happy birthday, Jeremy.
I've just realised what fish you were talking about.
Yeah, it's the one that looks like it's got something wrong with it.
It's having a turd, basically.
But the reason I point out, look how expensive it is.
Yeah, I'm trying to cover that up because that offends me. Yeah, 20 grand for this super.
It looks like it's got hemorrhoids.
It does. That's so. This is genuinely rare as well. So this is a very deep water fish, I think.
Yeah.
300 meters deep. That's 1,000 feet. That's very deep. God, yeah. how do you look at the size of it as well? It's bigger. Than
I can't even catch a yellow assessor in a 6-foot square in front where it can't get away. How are people catching these 1,000 feet down?
Yeah, and how slowly must they have had to bring it up? That's genuinely, that is worth 20 grand because
that's why that stuff's sticking out of it, I reckon, because of how being brought up.
Decompression thing or something. But that's worth 20 grand because that's some serious effort to get that. I don't want it. And if it's 300 meters deep, it's probably not going to like radions at 100%.
Yeah, it's people die collecting fish that deep sometimes. That's the reason that it stood out to me, because it's like people will literally risk their lives to catch one of these fish.
Yeah. Well, 18 degrees C, 65 Fahrenheit is the temperature it was in. Never been caught alive.
You wonder who's going to buy that fish. Is it worth 20 grand if no one will buy it?
No, nothing's worth anything more than what people pay for it. But I really don't like that fish, but it's unique. And so
it's the hemorrhoids, isn't it?
Oh, just, yeah, I can still see it. I've closed the screen down. But yeah, it's unique and it's newsworthy.
Yeah.
But I just don't like it. That was the only news you had, right? There was no other.
Yeah, I never have any news, do I?
All right. We'll wrap it up then. And that means, with the news over, it's the end of the show. Should we? Is there anything else you want to talk about? I'll have a quick look at the chat whilst you're saying, no, nothing else I want.
No, nothing else I want. Was that slow enough for you?
No, not by a long
shot. Not by a long shot.
It's really difficult to read comments. Even when like I'm just ignoring you. It's really difficult to read comments. I don't know why. It just is.
It's funny because some of them you like you'll zoom in on and you'll notice. Like my eyes will be drawn to some.
Yeah, yeah.
But 90% of them I don't even look at.
Yeah, it's funny.
What is even more funny is for some reason during the news, when you're talking about products, I managed to read all of them.
Oh, really? That's funny. I don't know why that is. Okay. And the only thing I'll put out there is, but why, says John Wright. And I think that's talking about the 20 grand fish that's got some kind of weird
it's
thing.
It's the same with anything. People want something that no one else has because it makes them feel good.
John asks a good question. Is there a stream next Sunday? Because it's Jesus' day, isn't it?
oh, Jesus isn't worried about me.
He's do you reckon he'll anyway.
If you want to, I'll be here, but it's nothing, makes no difference to me.
Yes. I don't know, actually. I'll see, because I kind of like the idea of having a weekend off, because Easter is like time off, and I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I'm not fussed.
This is what you normally do. You go, oh yeah, I'm not really sure, maybe I won't do it, and then like half an hour before, but you're like, should we do it? And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Probably then, yeah.
And you know that I like to put a lot of effort into the fish of the week and the car of the week, so I need more than half an hour to be able to get the high level of content that I produce.
We've got to do it in Easter Bunny outfits, apparently, which is, I mean, that's a bit weird, but you know, I'm
yeah.
Off.
True.
Probably, I think probably will in that case. What else?
You know, I get lonely, don't I?
Yeah, Ryan will just be sat at home stuffing his face full of Easter eggs and crying otherwise. So
yeah, you do this as a public service to talk to me.
Indeed. Yeah. So. All right. Well, yeah. Then there will be in that case, barring a Cadbury's related disaster.
Yeah.
But in which case, you're about to say something interesting.
Well, I just said yeah.
Oh, you had a look.
Someone said any interest, any experience with Moorish idols, I would stay away from them if I were you. Yeah, yeah. Watch Ryan cry with eggs.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that. We'll just put a secret camera on him so he doesn't know.
Yeah.
James will pay to see us at Easter Bunny outfits.
How much, James? Because I can be bought.
Maybe as well they should be slutty Easter Bunny.
That's just for your own fantasy.
Sorry, did I say that out loud? Right, on that note, it's time to end.
Yes. Oh, no, just quickly.
Go on.
There is a 20% off tonight on Carl's. So,
interesting.
Using the discount code DISCOUNT20 in capital letters. There you
discount
go.
Discount 20. So that would make
£30
off the Lobo.
I'm going to take the Lobo off.
Buy it now. £144. Quick, buy it. So, all right. Discount
I'll
20.
I'll cry when that sells.
And we will see you next week.
See you later.
Cheers, guys. Bye.